Come on, tell somebody, God is in the miracle business. I'd planned on starting a new series today, but the Holy Spirit, as he is known to do, interrupted my plans. Has the Holy Spirit ever interrupted any of your plans? He interrupted me. He stopped me dead in my tracks and said, no, you need to talk about miracles today. And I believe that somebody here this morning needs a miracle from God. I believe that somebody listening online and by CD, I believe that you need a miracle from God. And I pray that you would open up your heart to the Word of God and that you would find faith to believe that He is the God of miracles. Because our God is a miracle-working God. Psalm 77:14 says, "You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples." The Bible, from cover to cover, is full of miracles that God has done. In fact, the very opening verse of the Bible speaks of the miracle of creation. Genesis 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it's amazing that our God created the whole universe, but what's even more amazing is how He created the universe. Because God didn't gather up a bunch of materials and then roll up His sleeves and start working with His hands. No, the Bible says that God spoke into nothing and out of nothing came everything. Our God is the God who creates something from nothing. Maybe you're here this morning and you're down to nothing in your life. Maybe you're down to nothing in your finances. Maybe you're down to nothing in your health. Maybe you're down to nothing in your marriage. Listen to me. My God is still the God who speaks into nothing and by His word creates something that wasn't there before. Romans 4:17 says that He is the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. That's how powerful the Word of God is. His Word has the power to create. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are not seen." Everything you see came from the unseen realm. And though we cannot see God, we see the evidence of His power all around us. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is a reason why, even in 2016, in this modern age in which we live, there's a reason that 90% of the world's population believes in the existence of God. Why do people believe there is a God? Because the world around us is undeniable evidence of our Creator. The Bible says that we are without excuse. God's invisible attributes are clearly seen in the created world. Some people think that the theory of evolution has somehow proven that God does not exist, that we, by some cosmic coincidence, created ourselves. Okay, as one person summed it up, "From the goo to you by way of the zoo." But we know the truth. Psalm 103 declares, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves." But even still, this is a skeptical generation. Somebody asked me a few years ago, "Well, didn't evolution put God out of a job?" That's a good question. That's a question that a lot of people are asking. In fact, the majority of my PhD research involved looking at the science behind evolution. And I can assure you that evolution doesn't even come close to putting God out of a job. You see, the most dangerous thing about Darwin's theory of evolution is that some of it is good science. Notice I said some of it, not all of it, but some of it is. And you see, the devil loves to mix the truth with a lie. And if he can convince you to believe the truth, maybe he can get you to believe the lie too. And that's exactly what he's doing with evolution. I'll give you an example. Survival of the fittest is part of Darwin's theory. Now, the thing about survival of the fittest is that it's a proven fact. It's something that science has observed in nature, okay? It's a scientific fact that in nature, the strong survive. But just because Darwin was right about the survival of the fittest doesn't mean that he was right about everything else. You see, while science can explain the survival of the fittest, science cannot explain the arrival of the fittest. There is no scientifically plausible explanation of how life began because it's nothing short of a miracle. And there is scientific evidence that is persuading more and more leading scientists that we were not here by accident, that there is in fact a God in heaven. You see, the more we learn about DNA, the more we learn about our own genetic code, the more people are coming to realize that life could not possibly have happened on its own. Dr. Anthony Flew, anybody ever heard of Anthony Flew? Dr. Anthony Flew was the world's leading atheist. He was the most vocal, the most outspoken critic of Christianity. He was well known for promoting his stance on Darwinism and evolution. But something happened in the year 2000 when the Human Genome Project published its findings. The world's most notorious atheist changed his mind. He shocked the world when he announced that it was the genetic code that convinced him God must exist. When I think about all the advanced software that we have today, if it wasn't for software, I probably wouldn't have been able to get dressed this morning. We rely on technology way too much in this generation. But I think about the technological advances and the software that we depend on every day. And as complex and complicated, as advanced as software is, when you break it down, it can be broken down to a series of ones and zeros. On its most basic level, that's all software is. Computers use ones and zeros in a pattern that we call binary code. Well, DNA is our binary code put there by God. And DNA, in a similar fashion, uses sequences of four chemicals, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. Okay? A, G, C, T. And the order in which these letters are arranged determines how our cells function. And amazingly, inside every cell in your body, this code is more than 3 billion letters long. 3 billion letters long. Tell somebody, you're a miracle. I want you to think about that. 3 billion letters. The U.S. government, all they do is they give us a 9-digit social security number, and that's how they track us. But God has given you a 3 billion-digit social security number that's uniquely yours, okay? God's technology is far more advanced than our technology. And here's the thing about DNA. DNA is not a random pattern. DNA is a complex code that contains detailed information and instructions that are critical for life to exist. And while patterns occur in nature, information does not. Okay? For example, if you were walking on the beach and you said, Bobby loves Susie, you saw that written on the beach. You would not assume that a crab was crawling in the sand or that the waves threw pebbles on the beach and they wrote out those words. Why? Because that's not a pattern. That's information. In the same way, it is impossible for such detailed information that is over 3 billion letters long, it is impossible for that to happen by accident. It speaks to the fact that we have a divine architect, somebody who put that information there. Bill Gates said it like this. He said, DNA is like a computer program, but it is far, far more advanced than any software ever created by man. That simply could not have happened on its own. On June 26th, the year 2000, President Clinton congratulated those who completed the human genome sequencing. This is what he said. Today we're learning the language in which God created life. We are gaining ever more awe for the complexity, the beauty, and the wonder of God's most divine and sacred gift. Dr. Francis Collins, a scientist who was the director of the Human Genome Project, this is what he said. It is humbling for me and awe-inspiring to realize that we have caught the first glimpse of our own instruction book previously known only to God. That very same God that created the world and the very same God that wrote out your 3 billion-letter DNA is certainly able to do a miracle and meet the need that you have in your life today. Tell somebody God is able. Whatever the problem, whatever the need, whatever the situation, you need to know that God is able to do a miracle. In Jeremiah 32, 27, God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There is no problem that God cannot solve. There is no need that God cannot meet. There is no sickness that he cannot heal. Look back with me at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Notice that this woman in Mark chapter 5 had tried everything. She spent all that she had. She went to the best doctors and still they couldn't help her. In fact, things only got worse. Listen, I thank God for doctors and I thank God for nurses and I thank God for paramedics. I believe that God uses men and women in the medical field to do his work. But I also know that medical science has its limitations. There are still some things that doctors cannot do. And this is where the woman was who had the issue of blood. She spent all that she had to get the very best treatment, yet in the end they could do nothing to help her. There are some things that doctors can't do, but God can do what man cannot do. Jesus said in Luke 18, 27, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Yes. No matter what you're facing this morning, I'm telling you today that God is able. Tell somebody else, God is able. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." God is able to do more than you could even think about. He's able to do it. Yes. Not only is God able, but God is willing. God is willing. Now, this is important. Very few people doubt that God is, in fact, able, but many people doubt whether God is willing to do a miracle. Amen. They wonder and they worry, is God really willing to do this for me? Uh-huh. And I'm going to teach you something from the Bible this morning that's going to clear this up, because I don't want you sitting out there worrying today, is this God's will for me? All right. So allow me for a moment to give you a little bit of Christology today. What is Christology? It is the theology of Christ. It is the study of what the scriptures tell us about Jesus. Yes. Now, if I were to sum up all that I've learned from my studies of Christology over the years, it would be this one message. Jesus is God in the flesh. Yes. Come on, say that. Jesus is God in the flesh. Listen to me. Jesus was more than a teacher. He was more than a prophet. He was and is God in the flesh. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 9, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Listen to Colossians 1, 15. It's talking about Jesus. He said, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Colossians 2, 9 says, "For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Yes. Jesus is the perfect picture of who God is. Yes. If you want to know what God is like, all you have to do is look at Jesus. Yes. If you want to know what the will of God is for your life, look at the ministry and the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yes. Everything Jesus said and everything he did demonstrates to us the will of God. Jesus himself declared in John 6, 38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Everything Jesus did was the will of God. And if you want to know God's will, study what Jesus did. Yeah. Now, I've studied the Bible, okay? I've devoted my life to studying the Bible and to teaching the Bible. And I can tell you, nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever make anybody sick. All right. Nowhere. Jesus never made a single person sick, not one single time. In fact, if you look at what Jesus did the exact opposite of that. Matthew 9:35 tells us that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus healed every sickness and he healed every disease. We see this over and over and over again in the Word of God. Jesus never made anybody sick. All Jesus did was heal the sick. Matthew 4:23 says that he was healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Matthew 8:16, when the evening had come, they brought him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. Matthew 9:35 says that he healed every disease and every sickness. Matthew 12:15 says that great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew 14:14, he healed all their sick. Matthew 14:34, people brought their sick to him, and all who touched his cloak were healed. Luke 6:19, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Time and time again, Jesus healed all of them. He never encountered a sick person that he did not heal. Jesus was never walking along praying for people. He never stopped and said, wait a minute, I can't heal you because God made you sick to teach you something. This is the will of God. I can't. Jesus never did that, did he? He healed everybody. Never made anybody sick. All he did was bring healing. The Apostle Peter said it like this in Acts 10:38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Yeah. Listen, healing is and always has been the will of God for your life. Even in the Old Testament, in Exodus 15:26, God said, I am the Lord who heals you. David declared in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Amen. Jeremiah 30:17, God said, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Psalm 107 verse 20 says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If you've been wondering if it's God's will for you to be healed, it is. Tell somebody this morning, God wants you to be healed. I don't think they got it. Tell somebody else, God wants you to be healed. There was a man in the Bible who was wondering, like many of us, if it was God's will for him to be healed. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, it happened when Jesus was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Yeah. Notice that he said, if you are willing. He knew that Jesus was able. He just wasn't sure if he was willing. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. The man said to Jesus, Jesus, if you want to, I know you can. Jesus said, I want to be healed. God is able. God is willing. And here's my next point to you this morning, is that Jesus already paid the price for your miracle. Isaiah 53:5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Listen, you don't have to earn God's forgiveness. You don't have to earn God's healing. You don't have to earn the peace of mind that only comes from Jesus. Jesus already paid the price for you. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That means that through Jesus, every blessing belongs to you. That means that healing belongs to you. Peace of mind belongs to you. Financial provision belongs to you. Come on, somebody say, it belongs to me. So what the Bible says, God has blessed us with every blessing through Jesus Christ. Many, many people struggle with feeling unworthy. Maybe you feel inadequate. Maybe you feel like you don't deserve anything from God. Maybe you feel unworthy. Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus Christ has made you worthy. Because it's not about who you are. It's about who he is. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those things that have been worrying you, those things you feel guilty about, let me tell you something this morning. They are under the blood. They are gone. They have been washed away. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12 says that Jesus has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. Jesus has qualified us. We're worthy because he's made us worthy. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5. Notice that this woman who had the issue of blood had suffered for 12 years. Somebody say 12 years. 12 years is a long time. She had suffered for 12 long years. Listen, it doesn't matter how long you've had the issue. Jesus can heal you today. Jesus can heal you right now. Many times I've wondered, why is this story in the Bible? You see, Jesus did a lot more than what's written down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is what John said. John said, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Jesus did a lot more miracles than we read about in the Bible. That means that every miracle that's written down in the Bible was written down to teach you and I something. And I think one of the reasons that this miracle is in the Bible is because it teaches us that it's never too late for God. Tell somebody, it's never too late for God. You see, 12 years went by and nobody could help her. 12 years had passed and the doctor said, you might as well give up. 12 years had gone by and she only got worse. And everybody said, it's over for her, but it's never too late for God. One day, Jesus met a man at the pool of Bethesda who had been sick for 38 years. 38 years. John 5:5. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? You think, well, what a question for Jesus to ask somebody who's sick. Do you want to be well? But Jesus understood how human nature works. And the longer that somebody has a condition, the more it becomes a part of their identity. Come on, the longer I've had this sickness and the longer I've had this disease, the more I learn about it. And I can tell you all the medical terms and I can tell you all the research and I can name 15 people who died from what I've got. And people become so attached to their condition that it becomes ingrained into their identity to the point where they know more facts about their disease than scriptures about healing. And Jesus asked the man, do you really want to be made well? And the man said, I have no man to carry me to the water. Jesus said, you don't need a man. You're looking at the man. Be healed. 38 years and Jesus healed him on the spot. The woman with the issue of blood had suffered a long time. We live in a world full of suffering people. And this world needs to know that Jesus cares about your suffering. The Bible says time and time again that Jesus healed people not to prove anything to anybody else. The Bible says he was moved with compassion and healed them. God loves you. He cares about you. He knows you by name. He wrote your 3 billion letter social security number. He knows everything about you and he cares about what you're going through. The Bible says that we are to cast our cares on him for he cares for us. Jesus is our great high priest, but he is not untouched by our afflictions. Amen. He cares about you. He cares about your suffering. Thank you, Jesus. This woman had suffered for a long time, and Jesus cared about that suffering. And what man could not do in 12 years, Jesus did in an instant. Look back at Mark 5. I want to read that one more time. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. Verse 27, but when she heard about Jesus, tell somebody she heard about Jesus. I just want to dwell on that for just a minute because it's important that we talk about Jesus. It's important that you tell people about Jesus. I don't mean that you should go preach to everybody everywhere you see, hitting them in the head with the Bible. But listen, if God's been good to you, you need to tell somebody about it. Because things happen when we brag about Jesus. This woman came and got healed because she heard about Jesus. Jesus is the answer that the world is looking for. Let me tell you something. They're not looking for a hipster, watered-down Jesus. They're not looking for a Jesus who turned the water into wine coolers. They're looking for the real Jesus. They need the Jesus that died on the cross for their sins. They need the Jesus who heals every sickness and heals every disease. They need the Jesus who breaks the power of the oppression of the devil. They need the Jesus who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. They need the real Jesus. Tell somebody you need the real Jesus. And I want you to know today that one word from you about what God has done in your life has the power to change somebody else's life. This woman was healed and delivered after 12 long years because somebody told her about Jesus. Look at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well." The Bible says that there were so many people around Jesus that the crowd thronged him. What in the world does that mean? When you throng somebody, that means you pack in around them so they can hardly move. That means that there were a whole lot of people between her and Jesus. And this woman, what she had to do, she didn't walk up and everybody said, "Oh, wait a minute, make way for her. Let's let her go to Jesus." No, no, people were pushing because they wanted to touch Jesus too. So what she had to do is she had to press through the crowd. She had to push past the opposition. Listen, sometimes in this Christian walk, there are times when you have to press through. There are times when you have to make up your mind, "I'm going to be determined in my faith." Listen, don't just try it for a little while and give up. Don't say a little patty cake prayer, "Dear Jesus, touch me and heal me, amen," and then just keep on going, being sick and bound by the devil. You need to make up your mind. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. I don't care how many people I have to get past. I don't care how many opinions I have to push through. I am going to get to Jesus, and I will not be satisfied till I touch him. You have to have the audacity to believe God when everything else around you is to the contrary. If you want to see a miracle of God in your life, you have to make up your mind that nothing is going to keep you from Jesus. Sometimes we have to grab hold of the horns of the altar and pray until something happens. Sometimes we have to press through. And I think so many times people fall short of the miracles of God in their life because they give up far too soon. They persevere for a season. They push for a little while. They press through the crowd. But the people in the crowd, they don't smell too good. They don't act too good. Some people might kick you. Some people might bite you. Some people might cuss you. Some people might push against you. But you've got to keep pressing and keep pushing and be determined. I'm going to get to Jesus. Verse 30 says that Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus knew. Because he felt healing power flow out of him. There have been times when I've prayed for people and I have literally felt healing power flow out of me. Listen, Jesus knew that somebody had just been healed. He felt that power move. But his disciples said to him, "Lord, you see the multitude all around you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him. She told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." I want to ask the worship team, if you guys will come as we get ready this morning. In just a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for everybody in this place who needs a miracle from God. Maybe you need a miracle in your life. I want to pray with you and believe God. We're going to come together in faith and we're going to touch the hem of his garment this morning. Because you need to know today that God has not changed. He said in Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." If he was a healer in Exodus, he's still a healer today. If he did miracles then, he still does miracles today. Listen, the miracle working Jesus that you read about in the Bible is that same Jesus today. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as Jesus had compassion on the woman with the issue of blood, he wants to have compassion on you today. When I talk about God's miracle working power, listen, it's not just something I've read about in the Bible. It's something that I've experienced in my own life. And I want to share this story every available opportunity I get. On November 14th, 2015, just 8 months ago, it was a Saturday night. We had a community worship service. I was at that building right across the parking lot, standing in the pulpit, giving the altar call, when all of a sudden I had a brain aneurysm rupture that just about took me out. And they say that some people, when they survive a brain aneurysm, and about 25% of the people who have one survive it, they say that when you survive a brain aneurysm, it's usually the people who just get a bad headache and take themselves to the hospital. But they say that typically if somebody passes out and has a seizure, that they typically do not recover. If they live, they might live a week. But typically there's so many complications from bleeding in the brain that they don't make it. And that's where I was. Medically speaking, I had a very small chance of living. And if I did survive, they said likely I would have brain damage and never be able to function and take care of myself again. Now, I might not be normal, but I'm healthy and alive and well. Why? Because our God is still a miracle-working God. What he did for my life, he'll do for your life. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter if the odds are against you. Our God is the God who does miracles. What he did for me, what he did for this woman with the issue of blood, what he did for the man who had been sick 38 years, he'll do for you this morning. Because my God has not changed. He is more than able. He is more than able. In just a moment, I'm going to call. Just a minute, I'm going to call for those who need miracles in their life. Listen, God is here today, and he is in this place. He is right here at the point of your need. God is willing, and he is able to do a miracle in your life. Now, I want to ask if our prayer team will come. I want to ask if some of our leaders would come, if some of our ushers would come, and just stand with those who have a need in their life. But if you need a miracle in your life, I want to invite everybody, let's stand to our feet for just a moment. If you need a miracle in your life, I want to ask you to come.
You do miracles so great.
Come and just join me down front this morning. You can line up right here in front of me. I want to pray for you and believe God for miracles, because our God, he is a miracle working God. There is nothing that he cannot do. So if you'll come and just line up across the front, I'm going to pray in just a moment.
So great, there is no one else like you.
But right before I pray, I want to tell you about something important. People ask me, are there things in my life that could block the miracles of God? And there are things in your life that could block the miracle working power of God. Two things, I call them the uns of life. The two great uns that could block miracle power, and that's unbelief and unforgiveness. Listen, I can help you with unbelief, but only you can let go of unforgiveness. There's nothing more toxic in your life than unforgiveness. The Bible says that some of us, we're sick and weak because we don't forgive. And in this moment, right before I pray, if you have anything against anybody, you need to forgive them and let go this morning so that you can be free from bitterness and so that you can be free to receive a miracle in your life. So take a moment and pray, Lord, forgive us, God. We let go of unforgiveness and bitterness. God, we let go of those things, those people who have hurt us, those people who have offended us, those people who have wronged us. God, we forgive them, not because they deserve it, because we forgive them because you said forgive. Lord, we didn't deserve your forgiveness, but you forgave us anyway. God, help us to forgive those who have wronged us. Help us, God, to let go of unforgiveness and bitterness in the name of Jesus. The two blocks for miracles, the two barriers of miracles, unbelief and unforgiveness. Jesus told the woman, he said, your faith has made you whole. Some people say, well, healing has been done away with. Well, her faith is what healed her, and faith has not been done away with, because if that were true, none of us would be saved. We're saved by faith. All you need is faith in God. All you need is faith in God. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God this morning. All you have to do is take God at his work today and believe that he is the miracle working God. Listen, if you're a Christian, you've already experienced God's miracle working power. You may be thinking, well, I've never felt a miracle since I was saved. You just answered your own question. Listen, what did God do in your life? He saved you. That is the greatest miracle of all, is salvation. Is anybody here saved today? Come on, just lift up your hands. Listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've already experienced the greatest of God's miracles. There is no greater miracle than salvation. If God did that for you, if you can believe God enough to save you, you can certainly believe God for any lesser miracle than that. God is willing, God is able, if you'll only believe. And I want to ask all those gathered in this room, every child of God, if you'll stretch your hands this way and believe with me in faith, we're going to believe God for miracles. Because he is the miracle worker. He is Almighty God. There is nothing impossible for him. There is nothing too difficult. Nothing that God cannot do. God is able to heal, and God is able to provide, and God is able to deliver you, and he's able to set you free. God is able to do it. And he wants to do it. Just like he said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, I want to be healed. I want to ask the prayer team if you'll help me pray for those who are gathered here this morning. We're going to believe God for miracles. Come on, church, intercede and pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I believe that we're about to see the miracle working power of God moving in this place today.
Like you, there is no
for favor on his life in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that all authority belongs to you. God, I pray for those who are in authority, God, who are working against him, God, and trying to frustrate him. God, I pray, Lord, for favor in his life, God, that he would rise to the top and be the head and not the tail. God, and even in the face of opposition, Lord, that you would be with him and give him strength. Father, I thank you for deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's continue to pray and worship.
And the honor I lift my hands in worship, and I magnify your name, and you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else, you are great. I lift my hands in worship.
Come on, let's continue to intercede for healing. Father, I thank you for healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for touching her eyes. God, I thank you for restoring her sight. God, I thank you for healing her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. God, I thank you for touching her and restoring her. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for healing. Come on, let's continue to pray and intercede this morning. God is working and moving in this place. There's miracle working power flowing in this place today.
Deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship. I magnify your name. You are great.
He's the great and mighty God. He is the great and mighty God. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance in the name of Jesus. We thank you for breakthrough in Jesus' name. We thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you, God. We lift up your name in this place today. Thank you for healing power flowing in this place. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.